A movie opening tomorrow tells the story of a long fight to right an old wrong. In April 1966, members of the Army's Charlie Company, a troop of American soldiers with the Army's 1st Infantry Division, were tasked with searching out a powerful Viet Cong battalion in Vietnam's dense jungle. Drastically outnumbered, they were soon ambushed by the enemy, trapped, one of the bloodiest battles of the Vietnam War, Abilene. The Viet Cong were at their side, dropping from trees. But then, also descending through those trees, a U.S. Air Force power rescuer named William Pitts Pitzenbarger. In the helicopter above, he'd made the decision to join the fighters.
Somebody needs to go down there and get them straightened out. No way, it's hotter than hell down there, Pitts. Those people can't wait, they've lost the medic.
Ken Alderson was second in command of Charlie Company. He told us what he thought when he saw Pitts descending through that thick canopy.
I said, this guy does not know what he's getting into. But once your boots meet the ground, it's a different environment.
Pitts soon became one of them, a mud soldier, sending the wounded back up to the helicopter, waving it off when his fellow airmen wanted him to come as well. He'd saved nearly 60 lives before losing his own. Members of Charlie Company, as well as Pitzenbarger's Air Force comrades, spent years trying to get him a posthumous Medal of Honor. It rarely goes to airmen, and in this case, the Pentagon may not have wanted a reminder of that disastrously planned day. But Pitt's friends finally succeeded after 32 years. Writer-director Todd Robinson tells their story in The Last Full Measure. He joins us from WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Todd, welcome.
Hi, Robin.
And I'm going to disclose right here, one of the reasons I've been following the making of this film is that you hired my brother to be in it, actor John Savage, and thank you for that because it's such a sweet film. But also it's a reminder, he played Steve in The Deer Hunter, and this film does feel as if it's, you know, the characters from that iconic Vietnam War film now in their early 70s.
It does sort of close the loop on that character from The Deer Hunter, for sure.
Yeah, and so we'll talk more about the film. But also with us is Fred Navarro, one of the veterans that Todd Robinson interviewed for the film and also made that fight for Pitts getting the Medal of Honor posthumously. Fred, what did Pitts mean to you? Did you see him on the ground?
Yes, during the lull in the fighting, I heard this whining sound, and then I saw Pitzenbarger coming down through the trees in a litter. It was like seeing the angel come down through the jungle to save us, and that's what Pitzenbarger would end up doing.
Yeah. It's just so hard to convey how awful this time was. You guys are surrounded. You've been boxed in, maybe set up. Can you describe how frightening and what a carnage it was?
It was total chaos. Can you imagine 700 guns firing at the same time? And some of us could see the enemy. Most of us could not. It was crazy. But Pitzenbarger was crawling and running, trying to take care of the wounded. He would hear the wounded hollering for help, and he would run to them and take care of them.
With bullets whizzing by him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you've said you became friends. This went on for hours. Enough time to really, you know, bond with this person and also be in awe of him. I mean, did you see him wave away the helicopters?
Yes. The pilot waved Pitzenbarger to get on the litter and let's get out of here. But Pitzenbarger came there to save lives, and that's what he was doing. The PJ model is, these things we do so others may live. He waved the pilot off. And to this day, the pilot doesn't know if Pitzenbarger had got in the litter with the two wounded soldiers, if he had been able to lift off or not.
Todd, Fred mentions PJs. Isn't that how you got involved in this before you even knew Pitt's story? You found out about what these people did.
Yeah, they're called pararescue jumpers or pararescue medics, and they're highly trained combat medics, and they're there to evacuate the wounded, tend to their wounds, and as Fred said, these guys will trade their lives for yours. The culture is just replete with stories like this, and it was just irresistible as the subject of a film.
And when you were researching the PJs, you ended up at a base where Pitts's father was speaking, and he said something. I mean, this is a man who'd been mourning the death of his son in Vietnam, and then the fact that he didn't get this medal that so many felt he deserved. And his father said something that also gripped your heart.
He lamented that he had never gotten to see his son fall in love, have a child of his own, because only then could he understand how much his father loved him. And that just knocked me out. I had a 7-year-old son, a 3-year-old daughter at the time, and trying to wrap my head around what it would be like to lose one of them. And then I flash back even further to my own dinner table, where we often watched in the early 1970s the Vietnam War play out on television. And I realized that my father was deeply concerned that I would soon be of draftable age and that he could lose me to something as existentially impossible to deal with as a draft lottery number.
Yeah.
And so when those ideas sort of all came together, it became clear to me that there was a story to tell, and it was the story about not only the combat and the long path to get Pitzenbarger the medal, but it was also about the families that support our fighting men and women.
Yeah. And Fred, it's about what happens to people like you who leave people behind on the battlefield. People have been talking about how Pitts saved lives. One of the things that he did was he'd pull the dead over on top of those who were wounded because the Viet Cong kept coming through and you'd have to play dead on different occasions. But are you one of those that we see in the film has had a very hard time with the fact that you survived and people like Pitts and others didn't?
Yes, I. After I was wounded, the fighting got really bad, and Pitzenbarger and I became friends. He always came back to me. He would disappear and take care of the wounded, and he would come back to my location. He took his armored vest off and put it on my chest.
Oh, that's you.
Excuse me. And then he pulled the two dead Americans on top of me to protect me, and he disappeared again. Later, he would come to my location again, and he would take my rifle and give me his pistol, and that's when he was killed. I wanted to get to him, but because of the weight of the soldiers and my condition, I was unable to get up from under those bodies. And then night fell, and I thought, and I wondered all night if he was alive or not.
Yeah.
And I found out in the morning that he had died.
You know what you can't see, Robin? What you can see that I can see is that Fred's really full of emotion. And whenever these men are interviewed and asked to talk about this, it actually is traumatic. It brings up all of these feelings over and over again. And so what you're hearing in these delays is really raw emotion.
Yeah. Well, I know you're both in Ohio for a special screening of The Last Full Measure in William Pitzenbarger's hometown of Piqua tonight. That's got to be a delayed homecoming and not the one that everybody would have wanted, decades ago. But, Fred, I'm imagining you're looking forward to seeing him celebrated tonight.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of veterans that are here today. We came together to honor William Pitzenbarger one more time. It's a sad feeling, but because I've thought about it so many times over the years, but it's a happy feeling to be able to honor William Pitzenbarger once again.
Fred, I want to thank you especially. Thank you so much for talking, no matter how painful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Todd, thanks to you as well.
Thank you, Robin.
Todd Robinson, creator of The Last Full Measure, the story of pararescuer William Pitzenbarger. We also spoke with one of the men Pitzenbarger saved, Fred Navarro.